From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's ass on Hunchavandy
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up War Champ, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, it is Tuesday. Tom Lang from the Jeff Cameron Show, as well as WarChant.com's Director of Original Content, joining us on the program. LSU, polls, all of that coming up today's show. We are brought to you by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. It is in Tallahassee, Florida. They have a website, cptallybar.com, or that QR code on your screen. Get your camera app out. Get on the code. Boom, takes you to the website, can place your order online. Today's lunch special, it's Tuesday, it's Taco Tuesday. Spend your entire Tuesday at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill having some tacos and then some trivia, right, Corey?
Oh, yeah. And man, I always forget because the wings are so good that that's always usually what I order when I play trivia there on Tuesdays. I always forget about Taco Tuesday. Mm. Always. Great deal. And I always forget to do it. I get the wing, which, you know, that's not a regret. The wings are awesome.
No regrets.
But yeah, I think the next time I'm at trivia, Daddy's going to order some tacos and see what all the fuss is about.
Okay. All right, they haven't practiced in 2 days. They'll practice this morning. We'll be out there on it, and then Seminole Headlines will be cranking out some stuff 1 to 3 o'clock per usual. So be on the lookout for that. Give us a 5-star rating and review on an Apple device, maybe a thumbs up on YouTube, and subscribe to WarChant.com, everybody. Come on. But for real, not sure how long it's going to last. They're giving us some leeway here. There was only supposed to be about like a week or so, but we're like, hey, man, I want more. So be part of the more. It's only $1. Go to warchant.com. It's around the front page. Tap on it. $1 for a year or $1 for 4 months. Maybe you don't like value in your life. So, which is fine. You know, you want to be crazy. Be crazy.
I mean, it's dumb. Crazy. You well, can say it's fine, but it's pretty dumb.
Okay, it is.
Because you're going to want it, yeah. Especially when this team takes off. Woo. And is challenging for championships again. You're going to want all the inside information.
That's right.
Right now, you can get it for $1.
$1.
As opposed to what it's going to be later on down the road. So just throwing that out there. You can type in warchant.com on the browser. You type in warchant on 3, O-N, the number 3, on your Google search, and it'll take you right to us.
Yeah, so... do it, everybody. And once all of you sign up, we'll have to stop. We won't have to do this anymore. We'll save a minute of your day of doing the pitch on the podcast. So it's, I know a whole bunch of you are part of are over there.
Yeah.
But everybody else, come on, step up. Meanwhile, let's talk about this, Corey. We'll look ahead to week two a little bit here. Duquesne week one. I'll start doing my advanced analytics scouting report here in the next 48 hours or so to get ready for that one. But LSU announced, or they didn't really announce, the quarterback apparently wasn't at practice on Monday, and apparently he's gone ahead, I don't know, stepped away from football, but Miles Brennan, who's been there for, I think, close to 6 years, has gone ahead and left the LSU football program. Garrett Nussmeier's nursing an ankle injury, and they had a Thursday practice last week that was open to the media, and Jaden Daniels, a transfer from Arizona State, took all the reps with the ones. So it's the Taggart Bowl in the Bayou. Jaden Daniels versus Jordan Travis, it looks like. What a world, man, right? You know, Jaden Daniels, the guy that Willie went after kind of last minute to try to pull into the class going into 19, and then Jordan Travis, the guy they was able to get. Him and Kendall Browse were able to get here. So kind of funny how life works that way. But what are your thoughts? Again, a little bit presumptuous, but again, we haven't seen a practice in 2 days, so what else are we going to talk about? We'll talk a bit about the AP poll, but when you see this Jaden Daniels kid, man, he threw 17 touchdowns to 2 interceptions as a true freshman the year that he took down Florida State in El Paso. The COVID shortened year, I think he went 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, and then last year, same OC as his sophomore year, as his second year, he goes 10 touchdowns, 10 picks. Crazy thing, too, that's a really dysfunctional program right now, Arizona State. They had guys turning on one another, getting fired, ratting on each other to the NCAA. They still won 8 games, which I thought Arizona State was an absolute dumpster fire, but apparently not. But that doesn't matter. Jaden Daniels now at LSU. Your thoughts, how this all stacks up. I think, Corey, I know I've been talking a lot. I'm going to let you talk a lot. Some fan base is going to walk out of the Superdome on early Monday morning, because who knows, that game will probably get over, you know, a little bit after 11 o'clock and you're going to linger, have a couple beers, and it'll be midnight. They're going to be like, I can't believe we made that dude look like a freaking NFL draft pick. And like, whatever team loses that game is going to be like, I cannot believe we lost to that team and that quarterback. And they're going to be so mad because they're going to do all these crazy plays. They're going to convert crazy third downs. And I think by the end of the season, though, whoever wins this game, like the quarterback, either Jordan Travis or Jaden Daniels, will be thought of as like, actually, that was a good quarterback. Maybe that kid wasn't a running dude that also threw on the side. So I think like whatever team loses will walk out of that stadium thinking, man, I cannot believe we lost to that quarterback. We suck. When it turns out, man, that quarterback will actually be good in the long run.
I don't know, man. I don't think that if Florida State loses that they would think, man, Jaden Daniels is terrible. How do we lose to that guy? This fan base is used to losing
average quarterbacks. Look good. It's going to be, I cannot believe we made that guy look good. That's what it's going to be. I just apologize. I retract my statement. Carry on.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I guess I think Jordan Travis is a good college quarterback. I don't know what else people needed to see from the last month to think that, okay, maybe this kid has turned the corner. Just like, you know, Jaden Daniels was like the Pac-10 freshman of the year. Is it Pac-12? What is it now? Pac-8? What do we call that
thing? It's been the Pac-12. It's been the Pac-12.
Okay, I'm an old soul, so I still call it the Pac-10. Yeah. And then he had the, you know, you can't even judge anything on 2020 because they played three games or four games or whatever it was. And then last year, yeah, it wasn't good. He started out well, which was odd. I looked at his numbers because he had like, I don't know, five of his first six games, he threw for over 220, 230 yards. And then it just kind of fell off a cliff, and he had like eight picks or six picks and three touchdowns the rest of the season. Not sure what happened there. That might have been when the dysfunction started. There is some clarity, right? I think it's not a surprise, but I think we all understand now that it's going to be Jordan Travis versus, you know, Jaden Daniels. That's going to be the starting quarterback combination. But I think that's what we thought it was going to be when Daniels announced he was going there, right? Like, that's not a stunner.
Yeah, Garrett Nussmeier is kind of being a little bit talked about as a dark horse. I never believed in Miles Brennan just because the kid just never was available, unfortunately. I mean, the young man just had been banged up so much throughout his career and could never really stay healthy that I just didn't think that he was going to change that entire narrative here his last year and everything was going to line up and the stars and the moons and stuff. But you never know with a new staff coming in and what they want to be and really what they can be offensively. Again, Kayshawn Boutte still, I think, he is practicing, but he's kind of being brought along slowly. They like a couple of their running backs. They got the Noah Kane kid from Penn State as well. But I didn't know, man, for sure. I just didn't know how, you know, is Brian Kelly going to want to go game manager? Is he going to want to go Garrett Nussmeier, a guy that maybe he can just trust to make the right decisions? But then again, for the better part of his career, man, Jaden Daniels has made good decisions. He had, you know, do the math, that's 22-3 touchdowns, interceptions his first two seasons. And then last year, the wheels sort of come off. But, you know, I'm a little bit apprehensive now. But again, I think, you know, we talked about in a group text, I think whatever edge perceived, maybe nationally, I don't think Florida State fans perceive it this way, but whatever perception there is that Jaden Daniels may be a better passer, whatever that edge is over Jordan Travis, I think Jordan's running ability, improvisation skills,
there you go,
Pinellas County Schools stand up, I think is significantly better than whatever edge that he has throwing the ball, Jaden Daniels. So I still like where Florida State's at. Doing a little more reading, though, on the defensive lines, apparently having a pretty good camp for LSU. Their cornerbacks, which were thought to be a very, a big weakness for them, it seems like a lot of their transfers are kind of panning out right now. And Brian Kelly even said this is a position that we thought was going to be a problem for us, but now we actually, it looks like we're going to have depth there, so that's pretty crazy. But yeah, I mean, that front four might be a little bit nastier than I thought, but I guess, you know, the focus right now is obviously on that quarterback. So, but this will be good, man. This will be a fun game, man. Those two guys, I think they'll be going back and forth. I think we can trust both defenses, but I just think in this day and age, those guys, their skill set, they're just going to be all these maddening plays that, you know, if you're an FSU fan, you're going to be like, I hate this guy, Jaden Daniels, because he's going to scramble on a third 11 and convert. And then the next drive, Jordan's going to come right back and do the same thing, and LSU fans are going to be like, oh, this guy, why can't we stop this guy? But I think the perception of both these guys will probably change at some point, like come September, October. But I think, again, walking out of that dome, whoever loses will be like, man, if our quarterback couldn't beat that quarterback, what are we going to do this season? Hopefully, though, it's LSU saying that.
Well, but unless it's 38-35. then you'll feel pretty good about the quarterback if he put up five touchdowns or whoever it is.
But still,
yeah, I will
it'll
say,
come down to like a last drive and you didn't make it happen. But I give defenses passes in this day and age. Like if you don't score last and you have a chance to win the game, I'm going to blame it on the offense. Even if
okay.
you know, the defense
right, even if it's 50
points.
To 4. I got you. I see
mean,
how you're
now,
working.
Unless it's SMU Memphis 19, you know,
right.
Mike versus Sonny Dykes or whoever was at SMU at that time. It wasn't Sonny Dykes. Who was it? The guy that left.
Chad
there.
Morris?
There, no, not Chad Morris. They actually had a good coach SMU. I can't even think about this now. But anyhow, carry on, Corey. I'm sorry.
I don't even know where I was going. We got derailed by the SMU
defense.
Talk. I haven't
defense.
Thought about SMU since the Pony Express.
So you don't,
and then driving Corvettes and cheating.
But you don't think if Florida State has the ball last and they lose 38-35 against LSU, there won't be part of you that's not like, man, I can't believe Jordan got out. You know, maybe fairly unfairly, you won't think Jordan got out-dueled by Jaden Daniels. Or do you think Jaden Daniels is a good enough quarterback? There's no shame.
No, I think, I think I'd be more upset that the defense gave up 38 to Jaden Daniels. Not especially, and again, I think Jaden Daniels is a fine college quarterback. He's thrown for 6,000 yards in his career. He's done things. He's thrown for 30. He's accounted for like 40-something touchdowns. He's got more than twice as many passing yards as Jordan Travis. The advantage that Jordan Travis should have is this is his third year in the offense. Jaden Daniels has been running this offense for 3 weeks. That's the advantage. So if Jaden Daniels goes out there and lights up the Florida State defense and they win 38-35 or 41-35, I'm not mad at Jordan Travis. I'm mad at Adam Fuller. That's who I would be mad at. Like you know, there's a lot of film on this guy, and they just played this offense or what could be a similar. Yeah, but it's 2022. We've seen plenty of offenses that don't score 35 points. And if your defense is good, you don't just throw up your hands. If you think it's good, you don't just throw up your hands and say, "Hey, what are you going to do?" There's a lot of people score points these days. LSU's got a lot of question marks on the offense, a ton.
Yeah.
They're going to start a kid that has never started in this system. It's a brand new coach. It's a brand new OC. They've lost a lot of players over the last couple of years. There's no excuse to give up 38 to the guy. You know, there just isn't. So that would be not Jordan Travis lost a duel to Jaden Daniels. It would be Adam Fuller gave up almost 40 points to a guy in his first year in the system. That would be my biggest concern.
Kids, always trust your first thought, your first instinct. It was Sonny Dykes. He's at TCU now. Should have known that. But, yeah, it was Sonny
Dykes.
And,
come on, man.
And
get
Rhett
it
Lashley.
Right.
All right. Let's get it right. Let's get Tom Lang on here. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday with Tom coming up.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. It's Tuesdays. Tuesdays with Tom, part of the Wake Up War Chant sort of lineup that we have during the football season. Tom, how you been, man? It's been a second.
It has been a second. We haven't talked to each other. They haven't practiced in front of my eyes since last Wednesday. You guys were out in Jacksonville. I didn't get to take part in any of that fun. So I'm happy to be taking that in this morning at Doak Campbell and the Al Dunlap training facility.
I meant to ask you this yesterday, Corey. Like, what do you think about Jacksonville? You've been out there now What are your thoughts on them practicing out there? Obviously, we can't see the camaraderie thing, but in terms of them practicing in Jacksonville, what were your thoughts about that?
I appreciate the sentiment of it. I would go to a more feasible facility that has like grass that a Power 5 team can use more than once. That field was in pretty rough shape on Friday. It is not used for 300-pound dudes running around for 2.5 hours. That was not what that field was ever. I don't even know what that field is. It's like somebody's backyard almost.
IM Field.
I would still try to do it, but maybe do it at a I don't know, man. I thought IMG worked. Go do IMG again.
Tom, last year they literally were using PVC elbows and pipes from Home Depot to create a makeshift upright. This year they actually had this portable aluminum upright. So they plan a little bit better this time around. So shout out to them for being prepared.
Yeah, so I guess it's you got to slum it for everybody, including like the crew that has to put all the stuff together, because it's not making the players set that up, right? That's the managers that do that.
So, hey, man, news on Monday that, you know, I don't know how much you anticipated Jaden Daniels being the starting quarterback for LSU when he announced that he was going to transfer over there. But now with Miles Brennan walking away from the LSU program, Garrett Nussmeier's nursing an ankle injury, they say it's pretty minor, though. But in the last open practice they had in Baton Rouge, it was Jaden Daniels who ran out there with the quarterbacks. So, you know, we're thinking we can probably pencil him as the starter on Labor Day weekend when we're all there in New Orleans. Does that change your mind at all about the LSU game? And does Florida State still have a little bit of an advantage there at the quarterback spot?
Yeah, I think based upon what they're going up against every day in practice, I don't know that Jaden Daniels is going to duplicate the speed of one Jordan Travis. Now, I know that Jordan isn't turned loose all that much, but it's just when you've got to worry about a dual threat quarterback and you're going against 13 every day, one of those two threats is at a level that not many quarterbacks in the country can duplicate. Maybe Malik Cunningham when they see Louisville, but I don't think it's going to be LSU. And then the Brennan news doesn't really shock me all that much either. Reading our partner site at On3, the Bengal Tiger, when they do give open practice looks to the staff or LSU media, it appeared that he was running third anyway. So the writing was on the wall there. We'll see if Nussmeier makes a run. They've got one extra week at camp than Florida State does, so we'll see if anything changes there. But if it's Daniels, it's all about what Florida State's offense can do to that defense. I think that's the big question.
Looking ahead to the future, let's backtrack real quick for a second. I forgot to bring this up earlier in the show with Corey, but did you see this photo? I think it was from Jermaine Johnson's Instagram. I'll let you comment on it first, Tom. Brings a little bit of a tear to my eye. It's really cool. It's Hamsa. It's Marvin Wilson. It's Josh Sweat, Jermaine, Derek Kelly, and Landon Dickerson all together on the field at the Link in Philadelphia. And a couple of the guys were throwing up the chop, one of them being a Landon Dickerson. Do you guys realize Willie Taggart going into his first spring had Josh Ball penciled in, Landon Dickerson penciled in, and Derek Kelly on his offensive line? All three of those guys are in the league. One of the guys never even made it to the season. One of the guys barely made it through two games, and the other guy, I think, played hurt the whole time. Crazy how life works out for some people, right, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's the what could have been photo. What could have been if most of those players were developed coherently for two or three consecutive seasons? What could have been if there wasn't a position coach change for them? A lot of them, seemingly every other year, if not every 9 months. There's a lot of players that Florida State fans rightly, when they produce on weekends in the NFL Sundays, they say, how the hell did we not get more out of that guy when he was here? That's the kind of thing I see there. And then the other shocking development was what you pointed out. Landon, you know what? The chop, I guess, is more than the roll tide for him, even still. So I wish he would have stuck around for another year and looked like the behemoth he was in Tuscaloosa. But that's the what could have been group in Florida State history.
I feel like Landon probably took two pictures after that game. And one of them probably had a few more players in it, I would think. And he probably wasn't doing the chop in that one. But, yeah, man, look, nobody questioned the roster that Willie took over. It was maybe other things around the program. But there was still a lot of – I mean, he had Cam Akers. He had DeAndre Francois coming back. There was a lot of talent still on that roster, and it just never quite materialized for one way or the other. I wanted to get back to – so did Miles Brennan quit because he didn't get the job?
Feels like that. It feels like that. I think the sentiment is he's walking away from football, but it's probably because he just, you know, he's put his body through hell and he still can't win the starting job over a guy who's only been on campus for like 6 months. So
man, I I am going to sound, and I am the oldest guy of the three of us, and I'm going to sound like the straight up oldest man in the world right now. But I know the South Florida kid, South Florida named the starter, and it's the Baylor transfer that transferred in.
Oh, Gary Bohannon or Jerry Bohannon? I can't.
So they named him on Monday morning. By, I don't know, 45 minutes later, the kid that was the starter at South Florida last year was in the portal. And it's what is going on? And I hate to be Jimbo and just society it up, but holy moly, man, you can stick around and win the job. What if the kid turns his ankle? Like just not, you don't get to say, I'm going to be a starting quarterback. I get to be a starting quarterback. This is just, and if I'm not a starting quarterback, I'm bouncing. I imagine if every other position on the field was like that. It's just crazy how entitled quarterbacks are. I mean, they are. If I don't get to start, I'm leaving. Hey, Chuba, how's that working for you in Lincoln, big dog?
See, I knew the subtext in there that Chuba Purdy was going to come up. Whether or not he did, I knew that Chuba was a part of the discussion. In his case, I'm not going to try and play defense attorney here, but apparently Brennan got equal time in the spring game, and then he saw the writing on the wall in fall camp that he was running third. Yeah. I hear you, though, Corey. Chuba was running third, and they could have used him before the end of the season last year.
But everybody is destined in life to be a starting quarterback. There are backup quarterbacks in all walks of life. Maybe you got a great plumber that you love. He's out of town. Let me go get the other guy that's the second best plumber in the city didn't just cash it in and go start another career because he doesn't make as much money as the first plumber. Like, I mean, you still have a role in your life to play. And backup quarterbacks play a lot, and they have a role. And I just feel like these last 10 years, we've just given all this just carte blanche to these guys to be like, if you don't win the starting job, I get it, leave. So that's why I like Tate Rodemaker, man. My man's going to stick around. Good for him. Good, just like Smag. I always appreciate Smag because he stuck around. Not like, I didn't win the job. Let me go lose another starting quarterback job in another big college town.
What do you do if Brady Clark is starting quarterback at, Georgia Southern, and they bring some guy and beats him out, and he's like, Dad, I'm not happy anymore. I want to leave. Like, you got to stick it out. You're a Clark. Clark's don't turn and run.
You can't go anywhere right now anyway. The kid that just left South Florida is not going to transfer in the next 2 days and win a job somewhere. No. So why not stick it out with your teammates and show what a good teammate can be? I don't know. Like, I get wanting to leave after the season's over. Cutting and running in the middle of August when there's 2 weeks to go or in the middle of a season that has happened way too often here recently, it just really bothers me. And I told you I was going to sound old. I am old.
I'm with you.
I grew up with Brad Johnson losing the job to Casey Weldon. Casey Weldon lost the job to Brad Johnson to start the 90 season, took it over midway through the 90 season. They win 17 games in a row, but Brad Johnson had to play some in 1991. And then Brad Johnson went on to have a great NFL career. What if he'd have bounced to North Carolina? Maybe he doesn't even get drafted. Maybe, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what we're teaching these kids today, guys. I just don't know.
I'm not teaching them anything, first of all.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I'm glad that I feel younger now for this take.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, everyone.
But you're right about the fall camp. I think that's a good point. Like, if you're going to do it, cut and run in spring so you can win in the fall, win a job somewhere else. It doesn't do you any damn bit of good now. You're not winning anywhere else.
And you're not screwing over your teammates that might need you. If Jaden Daniels gets hurt, they might need an experienced veteran hand to go. Well, I guess it's not fair to him. He's quitting football, apparently.
That's what they're saying. Yeah, but the USF kid for in this exercise,
yeah,
though.
They could use you if the kid twists his ankle and you're gone, playing for no one. Awesome.
Hey, in the meantime, though, obviously everybody's worrying about what's going on the front lines for Florida State, whether they can match up with LSU. You're always keeping an eagle eye on things, Tom. And I know it's been a few days, obviously, since they've practiced, and Jacksonville was a trip that you weren't able to make. But, what have you seen so far through camp? What were some of the things from last week that maybe kind of carry you, buoy, perhaps, some of the optimism you have about this offensive line, what they can be and who might be kind of rising up the board for you?
Yeah, so for the O-line, Darius Washington returning to practice, I think, is a huge development. You never know when you need a backup at any position. And Darius is somebody who, according to the staff, multiple times they've said that he could play all five positions on the line. So that helps with depth. With Caden Lyles going down and being out for the year, does Darius rotate in and is he your second-team center? Who is your second-team center? A player like Darius Washington is invaluable that if something goes wrong in the second quarter and you need to take this thing home to the fourth with a 10-point lead, but not be a disaster on the up front, there's a guy that can help you. Bryson Estes, I think, is another player like that. I like the interior of this offensive line better, assuming that there isn't any other loss between now and kickoff against LSU. I like the interior of the O-line better than I do the tackles to hold up against premier defensive fronts. But overall, I like the O-line. And then another player, Johnny Wilson. I mean, it's a broken record for everybody, but he's had such a good series of 4 out of 5 practices, 5 out of 6, whatever you want to call it, to where you can start to write his name in ink as a starter, or at least if you want to say 3 receivers is your base formation, he's going to be one of those 3. And I don't think he's going to be a detriment or a liability. I think he's going to be a fairly solid player for the offense. That gets you closer to offensive balance, which means that Jordan Travis becomes all the more dangerous. So those are the things that probably have me feeling the most optimistic right now.
Corey, I think you've kind of hinted at this, you know, before, and you're very bullish on Johnny from the jump. I just think, man, if he's 6'7", he's played 2 seasons. Like, if we haven't seen it, why would it just all of a sudden miraculously happen here in Tallahassee? And a couple of people brought up Kelvin Benjamin. I think you might have as well. I mean, I don't want to say he's next Kelvin Benjamin, but maybe this kind of goes to, you know, guys quitting too early, but maybe it's guys in the media making opinions on guys too early. I mean, could a guy like Johnny Wilson, like year 3, things can kind of maybe come together? We've seen enough here in the last 4 or 5 practices to know that this is not like a flash in the pan. This isn't. I mean, this he's a real player for them. He's a potential difference maker.
Oh yeah, for sure. He definitely is a difference maker. He has gotten to the point in the last week, 6, 7 practices that I've seen, where I almost think I won't put this much pressure on a kid, but it's like the offense almost hinges on him. If he's as good as he's looked, that's I can't stress how important that is. That is an extra, I don't know, 5, 6 points a game. It's an extra 40 or 50 yards a game. It's a huge difference to have a guy that is going to make plays for you, contested plays, and score touchdowns. That's the name of the game. And he's a guy that you can throw it up to. He can make plays in the end zone. He's a mismatch over every corner. And if he's this guy and it's not just a 1-2 week splash, then yeah, that's a offense changer. That's how important he is. And I'm not going to compare him to Kelvin Benjamin, because I'll make the argument that the last, 8 games of Kelvin Benjamin's career were maybe the best 8 game stretch of Florida State receivers ever had. He was unguardable. He got into this zone. He had a really good guy throwing it to him. He was in the best shape of his life. He was 6'6 and running like a deer. And he was really incredible. So I don't expect Johnny Wilson to have that kind of impact that Kelvin Benjamin did, but it can be a reasonable facsimile. And if it is, man, think about last year when they'd get inside the 10. Who are you throwing it to? Who are you throwing it to? Malik McClain every now and again, I guess. Keyshawn.
That's who they threw. Like, they threw to Malik. They threw to Malik on that fourth and goal play against Jacksonville State. Did they not?
I think they did. I remember it not working. I do remember that. I think Johnny's got a better chance against Duquesne than Malik had against Jacksonville State. So I do think that the Johnny Wilson we've seen is, he is a guy that you have to game plan for, and he's a guy that Florida State will have a game plan for. And they have to get him the ball 5 or 6 times a game, because he can change the numbers on the scoreboard, which is what you want out wide. It's been a long time since you had a guy like that. Tamorian Terry was a guy like that, but he was a deep threat. I think Johnny Wilson, he could be a deep threat, fine. Johnny Wilson's a guy that can move chains, and then when you get inside the 20 and it becomes so much harder to score, he's a guy that can go up and make tough contested catches. And if not, he is going to be interfered with. Whether they call it or not, we'll see. But he's going to be interfered on all those types of plays, because they have no other choice. They can't play it even with Johnny Wilson. They're going to lose, so they're going to have to grab and tug. And if it gets called, all of a sudden you got 1st and goal at the 3.
Right on. Hey, last week we had Jeff Cameron on, and the coaches poll dropped, Tom. So now it's your chance with the AP poll dropping.
How many votes did the Noles get? I didn't check.
Looking at the graphic, I didn't see the others receiving votes on this graphic that I'm using. So, soon enough.
I'm going to guess 0.
It's all about where you finish, not where you
start. That's right, baby. That's right.
Clemson 4th. NC State 13th, Miami 16th, Wake Forest 22nd. They were 19th in the coaches poll, but obviously the news about Sam Hartman being possibly unavailable affected them. Miami's a 1 spot higher in the AP poll. Just feels like if I told you, Tom, they'll split those 4 games. The 2 of them are at home, Wake and Clemson. 2 are on the road, NC State and Miami. If they can split the 4 games that they're playing against preseason ranked guys, And like, what percentage would you put at them winning eight games? Like 95%? Higher, lower?
I was going to say, are you going to ask me what I take it? I'm like, yes. Yeah. How quickly can I say the word yes? It's got to be 9 out of 10 situations. Yeah. Because to me, that also indicates that you're winning a game. Let's see. Miami, if you win that one, for example, it's in November. So that means that you're still playing well slash you're healthy enough to win it late. Let's just say that it was Wake and Miami, two different halves or thirds of the schedule that indicate that you are consistently playing good football. And if you wanted to do it the other way and you split or you win both of NC State and Clemson, what kind of hype train would there be for Florida State in October? If they go on the road and beat NC State, come home, beat Clemson the week after, the Atlantic race is on, guys. People would be going crazy about that in the month of October. So either way you slice it, those are impactful wins for the program because it's not just about getting to eight. It's about finding a good one or two among those eight to resonate with recruits and fans and NIL collectives and everybody that gets everybody fired up. So if they split those four, they're going to be in good shape.
Corey, how happy would you be if they were able to split those four games?
Yeah, well, happy. I'm not really happy about anything, Aslan. I'm a curmudgeon. Kids today, they just don't understand what it means to be patient and wait your turn. I think that would bode well for the season. I think if you're splitting those four games, those are your four toughest games. You throw Florida in as the fifth. LSU is the sixth right there. Just extrapolate that. If you go 3-3 in your six toughest games, if you're going 3-3 in those six games, you really should go 5-1 in the others. BC, at Syracuse, Louisiana, Duquesne. I mean, you should go 5-1 at least in those others. So yeah, if you can go 3-3 in those six toughest that we perceive as the six toughest right now, then yeah, I think you'll be really happy with the trending of this program. Not really happy. I don't know that you're ever going to be really happy about 8-4 at Florida State, but you'll be much happier than you were, let's say, last season and the year before and the year before and the year before.
I mean, I was trying to pull up like the schedule that week. So I'm trying to think like what the likelihood or the chance are that Florida State could play Clemson for like game day. But you know, this iPhone, this Apple device, it's just got a mind of its own.
Here we go. I rip AT&T yesterday. Yeah, we got Apple today.
Coming for everybody, but that's
crazy. We're going for the big corporations.
If you want to beat NC State because that's the game before. Maybe if you beat NC State and NC State's still undefeated at that point. You know, that gives the juice for Clemson, Florida State, like a de facto inside track to the Atlantic. But again, I don't know who else is playing. If that's a week that Alabama's playing, you know, A&M or something, obviously they're not coming here. But I guess that's a good thing, too. We still have a little bit of an inside track for College Game Day games, guys. Now that the Big Ten's going totally to Fox and NBC and CBS, it makes it a little bit easier for us to get back on Game Day, which is, you know,
I also looked it up. They got zero receiving, they received zero votes.
Okay.
What was the last time somebody received zero votes and won the national championship?
I don't know. What about Ohio? What about Ohio State? Was Ohio State even ranked in 2002? Or if they were preseason ranked? Probably. Anyhow, Tom, thanks for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate it. Headlines coming up 1 to 3 o'clock, but you and Jeff back at it on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 1 to 3 o'clock, 93.3 FM, as well as War Chant TV. You were hanging out with Ira, by the way. They should check some stuff out over on War Chant TV right now, too, the people that are listening, right?
That's right. We're talking about the 3-2-1. He made it free one time only. Then you got to drop a dollar on it, and you get a whole year's worth of 3-2-1s. Think about how cost-effective that is, folks. Head over to warchant.com right now.
Awesome. For Tom and Corey, I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Chant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.